this is something that is very important because it affects all of us. So again, we're going to be talking about how to handle your emotional triggers effectively, how to handle your emotional triggers effectively, and how to take control of them by increasing your awareness and developing new ways of responding. So my whole point and purpose today is to increase your awareness about emotional triggers and to help you to develop new ways of responding. So an emotional trigger, or a trigger, is an experience that draws you back into the past and causes old feelings and behaviors to arise. So a trigger, it is an experience that draws you back into the past and causes old feelings and behaviors to arise. And we realize that we all have triggers, and they're different with each person. So what may trigger you may not necessarily trigger me. What may trigger me may not necessarily trigger the next person. And so one of the things that we have to begin to do is to identify the internal causes that interfere with your ability to live in the present moment. You have to identify, what is it internally that is going on with me that is preventing me from living in the present moment? And so you have to begin to spot what we call external prompts. And these external prompts are things like situations. It could also be certain people, you know, those ones that kind of always push your buttons. And so when you have those things, like, you know, when you get into a certain place or a certain space, and, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, they are really working my nerves. You are on my last nerves right now. You are really pushing my buttons. You have to begin to act. You have to identify that this is a prompt. This is an external prompt that is now triggering me to respond or to feel a certain way. So what are we supposed to do when this happens? One of the things that we have to realize is that anytime we are drawn into what we call having an emotional trigger, that triggers do not cause the response. Triggers do not cause the response. The so-called trigger is simply a reminder that tempts you toward a well-worn destructive thought pattern. Let me say it again. The trigger, it's not the cause of your response, but what it does, it brings us into a place of temptation that will lead you toward a well-worn destructive thought pattern. And so when you begin to have these reminders, it is often associated with pain. Pain such as previous failures, past hurts. It could even be broken relationships. And oftentimes people will begin to feel helpless because they don't know how to stop responding in a destructive way. They don't know how to stop responding. And so anytime we begin to label someone or something as a trigger, we shift the place of emotional control from our own heart to an external object. So the connection that you are feeling between the event and the emotion mistakenly can lead us to think that the trigger is the cause, but the trigger is not the cause. What has happened is that we have developed habits of thoughts in response to pain that continues to lead these predictable emotional conditions. And so when we talk about despair, anxiety, anger, these all reveal, here we go, that we are ignoring God And we begin to disregard his promises as we respond to the brokenness that is around us or in us. So instead of thinking in terms of triggers, you have to see these situations and these people as cues. See them as signals, see them as prompts, see them as a reminder to begin a series of thoughts that are God-oriented, that are God-oriented. And so having this shift in language, this shift in vocabulary, it helps us to engage the process of repentance and trust whenever you become troubled by triggers. Because triggers will also lead you to a place of feeling like you are a victim. And you begin to develop a victim mentality. And you'll always see yourself as a victim, as what somebody else is doing to you. But again, all this is that this is a response, my God. And it is a reminder of a well-worn destructive thought pattern. And this is why renewing of the mind is so very important. It's so very important. So we cannot afford to have our hearts shifted to external things that really are not even the cause. The cause literally is that which is inside of us. And so some of the things that I want to talk about, and I am going to give us some spiritual, but also some practical strategies on today. Because remember, we are spirit, soul, body. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. Now, some of the practical things that you can do is that you can begin to keep a journal. Keeping a journal helps you to track your triggers, and it is often the first step in mastering them, because that helps you to become aware, self-aware. Remember, looking at what is going on, at the brokenness that is inside of you. You also want to make time to relax. So reducing daily stress that makes it easier to handle intense emotions. You're not going to get away from having intense emotions. God gave us emotions, but it is our handling of the emotions in times of stress that can often lead us down this path of well-worn thoughts. Practical, you can eat right, sleep well, exercise regularly. You can also take advantage of quiet times to begin to brainstorm new strategies that you can use when you are under pressure. Again, we are talking about practical right here. This is a major one. Know your capacity and then begin to proceed at your own pace. Don't try to keep up with someone else. Don't put more on your plate than you know that you can handle. No is a complete sentence. And sometimes we have to tell people that I don't have the capacity to do what it is that you are asking of me. And guess what? It's okay to do. It's okay to do. You also have to look at when you place yourself in difficult positions. Be open to doing something new and more constructive with your time. So look at the things and the habits that you are engaging in. You also want to develop a strong support network, a strong community. Do you have a community of or a sisterhood or a brotherhood that you can depend upon in times of emotional crisis? crisis. You also want to show compassion. Strive to be a little more patient and forgiving, and people will be more likely to do the same for you. We have to even extend and show compassion to our own selves. And that which is inside of us will then begin to flow out of us. And then, of course, you know that if you are having trouble making progress on your own, then by all means, please seek professional help. Sometimes we need Jesus and therapy. Sometimes we need Jesus and therapy, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, what does the word say? I want to take a look at a particular passage of scripture on today. I want to take a look at Psalm chapter 40. Again, we want to move from victimization mindset into the place of hope. So again, when we talk about cues that launches you into a familiar path of pain, there are some questions that you can begin to even ask yourself that can actually help you through this process. What was the stimulus that began this descent into despair, anxiety, or anger? When do I have a disproportionate reaction to a situation or a person? And are others puzzled by the intensity of my response or mood swing? Have you ever been in a situation where somebody just went completely ham and you're sitting there looking and wondering, like, what in the world is going on here? Or if you were the one that was giving this intensity of a response or this mood swing, and others are looking at you like, what is going on? That's a cue. That is a cue that you are on a familiar path of pain. And so once you begin to identify the trigger, you have to write down what your thoughts are. What was it that I was thinking in this very moment that this happened? Some of the things that you may hear, some of the things that we hear when we are in counseling sessions, like, I can't believe that this is happening again. I just can't take this anymore. What if this never gets better? I just feel like I'm stuck. Nothing ever changes. I'll never change. I can't breathe. I just have something else to do right now because I can't stand the pressure. Some of you may even identify with making some of those statements. Ask yourself. So you need to recognize the trigger and to recognize the thinking that comes along with it. Again, you want to repent. And we know repentance is changing your ways, changing your direction. And God, he's so kind to us that he helps us to identify our own triggers. This is actually a gift that God gives us because it alerts us to repent in specific concrete areas. Change your direction. Change your way of thinking, because repentance is the key to change. And repentance is what gives us hope. And so whenever you find repetitive elements in your way of thinking, this will reveal the weaknesses, sometimes even in our own theology and worship. So we cannot minimize or ignore the goodness of God. We cannot minimize or ignore the presence of God. We cannot minimize or ignore the perfect ways of God. So for Psalm chapter 40, Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. Because, and this is something that I've become more aware of, is that our behaviors are a direct result of our belief system. Our behaviors are a direct result of our belief system. So one of the first things that we have to begin to identify and to address is the area of unbelief. This is why sometimes you have to lead with the natural strategies based upon whatever that person's belief system is when you're in counseling. You have to address and find out what is it that you truly believe in. Because whatever they believe in, that's going to be the direct result of what their mindset, what their lifestyle is anchored in. My God. So Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, we'll start with there. And I believe that I am reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible today. Verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. They will trust in the Lord. So in this particular three verses right here, we see that God is good. We see that God is present, and we see that God is working. God is good because it says that as for you, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me. He heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit. God is present. God is working. He's working. As for me, I'm poor, I'm needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. He's there for us. He's always present. He is ever present. God is working. How is he working? Because he inclined his ear to us. He heard my cry. He drew me up from out of the pit of destruction. And not only that, he put a new song in my mouth. And so in this particular Psalm of David, he's not saying these things, and he doesn't believe these things because he has a perfect past or because he is blameless. But it's because God gives salvation out of his grace, mercy in Jesus Christ. And so whenever we get into these places and these spaces where we have these cues and we are led back to an old path of destructive thoughts, the prayer of repentance is always going to be the first thing that you want to do. Why? Because you need to change your direction. You need to turn from the direction that you are heading in. So have the prayer of repentance. Then the third thing that we want to do, again, we want to begin to mobilize the cue. We want to prepare specific thoughts that will help you to embrace the next time that trigger comes, the next time that situation shows up, the next time I encounter that person. So identify one thought that most fuels the downward cycle and prepare a God-honoring thought that will replace it. You can develop simple statements that can be easily memorized and repeated. Statements, affirmation, whatever you want to relate to it. And so when you begin to experience a trigger, you want to engage in gratitude. Engage in gratitude. Begin to thank God for this opportunity to worship Him and to be changed. Thank Him for the reminder that we all need a Savior and that God has already provided one. Thank Him for the reminder of past sin or hurt, because it humbles us and it pushes us to know Christ better. Having an attitude of gratitude will save us and will begin to stabilize us. My God, it begins to place us in this place and space where we now have these God-honoring thoughts. The next thing is you want to embrace the promise. Embrace the promise. Know that God's grace is up to the challenge. It doesn't matter how far down in a pit that you may think that you may be. God's grace is going to always be up to the challenge to pull you up from out of it. God will give us the grace and the strength that we need to obey Him. The grace and the strength to obey Him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, excuse me, I didn't have this one pulled up. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. My goodness. And it says that no temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But the temptation, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. Is that not a promise? Is that not a promise that we can hold on to? My God, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 8. We're talking about the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And again, I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And it says, "And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work." The promises of God. Embrace the promise. The third promise: know that God hears your cries. Know that He is working, and know that God is good. There is a great joy and hope when we begin to move from trigger to cue by specific repentance and obedience. So I want to encourage us today to recognize, to repent, and then to prepare for specific situations as you are worshiping God, as you are loving others with a greater wisdom and diligence. The painful reminders in life can be a cue to trust God by remembering and rehearsing His goodness, His presence, and His perfect ways. My God. That is what I wanted to share with us on today, that there is a way out. He has already provided ways of escape for us. And if we just follow the plan of God, follow the pathway of God, we can make it out and we can make it through. No matter what, it doesn't matter how far deep down in the pit you may be, that God is there for you. Take these scriptures, take these steps that I have shared with you on today, and just know that we have the ability, in that God, He has a remedy for us. He has a remedy for us. And I want to just segue into the new book release. Yes, yes, yes. God's Remedy for Anxiety. Practical Solutions for a Peaceful Life. Practical Solutions for a Peaceful Life. If you have not gotten your copy, you can order it on the website, www.jewelsofwellness.net, and go to the Emotional Wellness tab there. It is loaded with the things that we need in order to make it through. There are some additional resources that I've added in. I actually combined the book and the workbook together so that you would have all one resource. But that, again, that is available on the website. If you may happen to be watching from your laptop or another device, you can actually scan the QR code and that will take you directly to the link as well. I also want to let you know that I do have the spring schedule for our upcoming Christian counseling certification classes. They are the registration for the spring class, which starts in April. That registration will end on March 13th. March 13th is the deadline to register for the next cohort of classes. I have also added in a Saturday schedule for the summer only. Again, that information, it is at the link on the QR code. It is also on my website at jewelsofwellness.net. You go to the counseling tab and you will see all of the information that is there. Again, I want to just thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to our podcast on today. I am your host, Shelby Frederick, also known as Lady Jewels. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on this day, and we shall see you back here on next Tuesday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time to do it all over again. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Bye-bye.